This is the Europe Report with special correspondent Kanaan Lipschitz.
Good afternoon, Kanaan. Nice to speak to you again. How are you?
Hi, good. Thank you. I really enjoyed that commercial you heard before. It reminded me of growing up in Ranana, the little Pretoria, as we used to call it, with all my friends and
wonderful. Kanaan, firstly, can we talk about the general reaction in Europe, or has there been any reaction in Europe to the Pittsburgh attacks?
Yes, there actually has a very emotional, resonating response virtually in every large synagogue in France, which is a community, has a Jewish community that's very versed in terrorism. Virtually any such synagogue had held a special vigil, sometimes hours after the attack, even on Motzei Shabbat, where a lot of people relived their own horrors. And I spoke to Joël Rubinfeld, who's the head of the Belgian League Against Anti-Semitism. It threw him immediately back to when he was 14 years old, just after his bar mitzvah, on a Friday on Rosh Hashanah in synagogue in Brussels, when gunmen started firing and wounding four people at the entrance. So it really harks back to a shared experience here.
So in Europe, synagogues are protected like fortresses. How did it get to that point?
It's actually has been a very long process, and I'm telling you this just based on conversations, because I haven't seen it. I'm 37 years old, and the process started somewhere about that time when I was born. The 1980s really saw a basic change in the approach. But it starts actually in the 1960s when Marxist far-left groups start targeting Jewish community centers. The first one was 69 in West Berlin. And that experience has helped shape a doctrine here in Europe, which casual visitors are only exposed to the tip of the iceberg. We're talking about several perimeters of defense, several circles that are being surveyed and registered and recorded, and then there are points of intervention. So, for example, at many synagogues, you'll have the double door that creates a sterile zone. You open one door, you walk into the sterile zone, the front door closes behind you, then you're interrogated. So you can't go away. You can't get away anymore. You're going to get questioned. And those are defensive mechanisms that seem normal to us here. You know, we just roll our eyes and wait for the first door to close and then to get inside. But it's really been developed over many years. And my question was, let's just say, this is being debated in the U.S. right now because of the Pittsburgh attacks. But let's say that tomorrow a critical mass of U.S. jury decides that they're going for the European model, right? How long will it take, seeing that what we have here was being developed over 40 years? Well, the answers I've received from professionals is if there's a determined decision to implement this model, it'll take at least 10 years, very optimistically, maybe 15, and about $1 billion to prepare Jewish institutions in the U.S., which are far more numerous and far larger than the ones in Europe.
Aside from that, I think that it's a paradigm shift that has to happen in the mind of the community, that they need it. You know, I think that is going to be the first obstacle to conquer, is that the community needs it, because otherwise nothing else is going to happen.
And that need that you so rightly point out plays a critical role in the effectiveness of this system, because security systems, the best security systems imaginable, only works if there's a willingness to implement it day in, day out, year in, year out, when nothing happens, when you think that there is no threat and you're tempted to throw that door open because it's more convenient. You have to have a compelling rationale that prevents you from doing it. And the big concern is that of the professionals I spoke to, people from CST in the UK, people from the Belgian League Against Anti-Semitism, the National Bureau Against for Vigilance Against Anti-Semitism in France, the main concern is that even if this infrastructure is built and put in place, it'll take decades until the people running it, because that's what it comes down to, internalize the understanding that they are really under threat and they do need to keep that door closed.
Very interesting. You know, when you mention Marxism in Europe and how Marxism is actually fueling this mindset, I actually tremble, because South Africa is a country that is very Marxist. We are a very left-wing Marxist country. And if one considers, every single dictator in history was a Marxist. Just saying.
No, Kathy, that was past tense. He said it started with Marxist terrorism.
No, I'm just saying, you know, in South Africa, it's been very different terrorism lately. Yeah, but in South Africa, we're a very Marxist country. It's very interesting.
But we are security aware. We don't have the naivety of the American Jewish community that thinks they were immune for whatever reason.
No, this is about the threat.
We're aware.
Yeah. Okay, what were you going to say, Knan?
Well, speaking about Marxism, you have now a resurgence of it to some degree. Till now, mostly rhetoric in the UK in the form of Jeremy Corbyn. But just a couple of weeks ago, we had the first violent incident at a Labour event in the UK. There was another one in the Netherlands, actually, during a visit by Corbyn, an assault of Jewish activists who protested against his presence there. But in the UK, the first time happened just a couple of weeks ago. The lady who got injured, kicked in the face, her name is Sharon Claff. She's about 70 years old, and she's actually from South Africa originally, been living in the UK for 30 years. And that was a watershed that kind of got snowed over under the avalanche of Pittsburgh. But here you have people who are defending Corbyn, a former Marxist, maybe current, but we don't know because he's not saying it openly, who took to assault people protesting anti-Semitism and labor.
Right, because it doesn't leave room for an alternate voice. Knan Lipschitz, that's where we leave it this week. Always love speaking to you. It is certainly a highlight of our week, and I'm sure for our listeners as well. Thank you very, very much, and we look forward to speaking to you next week. God bless. Stay safe.
Thank you. See you next week.
Bye-bye.